All right, this is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2019. I am the Solemn Monster here. Thank you so very much for tuning in here on the Solemn Monster Sounds Up YouTube channel. Dynamite tonight was live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hopefully everybody can hear me okay. I know last week there were some people saying that they were having some trouble hearing me. That was me being an idiot. My levels were all off, but I think I'm all leveled out here tonight. So hopefully everybody can hear the sound of my voice. And as I said, Dynamite was in Pittsburgh tonight, this coming off a show in Philadelphia. So Pennsylvania getting a lot of love these last couple of weeks from AEW. Yowie Wowie says Raffman in the chat. Hello to everybody in the chat. We have people filtering on in. Here is the show, just went off the air a few moments ago, and we're going to get going here. Let me just mention right off the bat, well, first of all, it'd be kind of cool if we can get 300 likes on this video here before I go off the air tonight. So let's work on that. Let's get 300 thumbs up on tonight's video. Also, Super Chats are open. I know we've had a few that's come in already. I'm going to read them here in just a second. I promise to read all of the ones that do come in tonight. So if you want to get them read on the air, you can get those Super Chats in. That is one way to support the show. You don't have to, but if you do, I very much appreciate that. So Super Chats are open. And actually, let me read the first. We already have a whole bunch that came in. So let me show some love here to Must See TV. Big fan of mine for years. Thank you very much. Casey is Raw. AEW was great tonight. 8.5 out of 10. Wrestling is back. That's from Casey is Raw. And Loki Agatho, thank you for the $5 super chat. Love the sound off. Thank you, Loki. I appreciate that. Dynamite, I'm just going to get right into it here. They opened the show tonight in a way that WCW Monday Nitro used to open up back during the Monday Night War. Nitro used to have that hot opening with the cruiserweight matches, Rey Mysterio or Juventud Guerrera, Psicosis, La Parca, Blitzkrieg, Disco Inferno. No, I'm just kidding about him. But they used to open the show really hot. And so tonight, immediately, they went right into the intros. Lucha Bros against Private Party, semifinal match in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament, which finishes out next week. So these were the last two matches of the the only two matches, I guess, of the semifinal round tonight. This was about as insane as you would expect between these two teams. A lot of big moves, a lot of dives. Jim Ross was just on his podcast. Lead play-by-play announcer for AEW, Jim Ross, by the way, was on his podcast talking about the fact that he thinks AEW has too many flips and dives. So what do you think? In the chat, does AEW have too many flips and dives? We got a lot of them in this match. We got a lot of big moves. We got a lot of dives. Not much in the way of selling anything. They didn't give themselves enough time. I mean, how can you sell anything when you're trying to go move to move to move? They gave these guys 12 minutes. That kind of surprised me. I would have thought these two teams, second round match. I don't know if they mentioned specific time limits for these semifinal matches. I kind of remember the way it used to be in the King of the Ring. Opening round had 15 minutes. Semifinals had 30 minutes. Finals had 60 minutes. Maybe I missed it. I don't know if they announced a time limit. They gave these guys 12. It didn't really seem like a lot. But again, this was like a cruiserweight opener that you would see in WCW back in the day. I know some people absolutely hate this style. Move, 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 move. Not much else in between. They condensed a lot into the 12 minutes that they were given. I'm not always the biggest fan of this style either, to be honest with you, but the crowd ate it up. It was exciting. The energy level was way up, which is what you want in your opening match. I'm not even going to attempt to. I'm not here to recap moves. I'm here to just give you the blow-by-blow about what happened, who won, and what I thought. Gin and juice to Phoenix. Pentagon, though, was the legal man. They tried gin and juice to Pentagon. He countered that into a Mexican destroyer off the top rope. And a stomp by Phoenix off the top into the package pile driver by Pentagon. Lucha Bros advance to the finals. I had one person who was adamant this week. Private Party's going to win. I said, what do you mean private party? I think Lucha Bros are my pick now that the Jurassic Express, things didn't work out there because of the injury to the Luchasaurus. Lucha Bros are my pick to go all the way. But this person was insistent that it was going to be private party because why else would they have private party go over on the Young Bucks? If they put private party over the Young Bucks, then surely they have them in mind to win the entire tournament. I said, that's not how this works. They got over on the Young Bucks. That's enough. They don't have to win the entire tournament. So anyway, we saw that play out here. Lucha Bros get the win. Not a big surprise to me. I guess a big surprise to that person. Again, the style of match that it was great. But if you're not into the style of just shotgun moves after, you know, one right after the other, I could see some people just not really liking this match much. But this was crazy. This was crazy. Wardlow is coming. And I cannot read, you know, I wrote Wardlow in my notes, and I can't look at his name and read his name. I almost said Warlord. He kind of looks like the Warlord. He's not jacked up enough. He's not quite as puffed out as the Warlord was. How the Warlord was able to move around without tipping over, I'll never know. How the Warlord is alive today. Look at all the people that have passed on in wrestling. The Warlord somehow is still alive. God bless him. I have no idea how. But, yes, I see Wardlow. I think of Warlord. What do you guys think about this? I got an email from somebody suggesting that Wardlow may show up at Full Gear to help the Elite in some way. I don't know how. I don't know what their master plan is. But their suggestion was that Wardlow would show up at Full Gear. That's where he would make his debut appearance. In a scenario where he would help out the Elite against Jericho's Inner Circle. He can kind of be the muscle man for the Elite against Jake Hager. I see him doing his own thing. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to give this guy a Goldberg-type push, where he comes in and he's this kind of wrecking machine and maybe goes on an undefeated streak. They play up wins and losses in this company so big. You know, maybe he goes unbeaten for a while. I see him as more of a kind of a lone, not lone ranger, like a lone wolf type. I've never seen this guy work before. I know next to nothing about Warlord. See? I know next to nothing about Wardlow. I've not seen him work. I don't know, you know, his background. I think I had looked him up. I didn't find much information on him. So I don't know what to expect. He's kind of an open book as far as when he debuts. I'd look at a guy like Brian Cage. Brian Cage is a big dude. He was in Lucha Underground. He used to be in a lot of places, and then he got all big. He went to Lucha Underground, made a name there. Now he's in Impact. He's the champion. But Brian Cage, big as he is, big and muscled up as he is, he can work. He can work, and he can do things in the ring that a guy his size, you wouldn't expect him to be able to do. So I don't know if Wardlow fits the bill, if he's the, you know, kind of the same type of performer, almost like a Brian Cage type. I don't know. Because I really just don't recall ever seeing him, working. But maybe you guys have, so you can chime in the chat. I'll check in there in a second. We had Christopher Daniels. Update on Christopher Daniels. He is out 6 to 8 weeks with a pinched nerve after the attack on TV last week. So here it was Kazarian and Scorpio Sky going for SCU this week against the Dark Order. This was the second semifinal match in the tag team title tournament. This was not as flashy as the opener, but this was very good. I thought this was a very good match, and I got to give props to the Dark Order. I stand by what I said many, many, many weeks ago. Grayson, Evil Uno, really good wrestlers. I think they showed that tonight. But they've been saddled with a shit gimmick. Nobody cares about the Dark Order. Nor does anybody look at them and feel intimidated by them in any way. I don't see how that's even possible. How is it possible that anybody looks at this team and is scared or intimidated in any way? And I look at Uno with that mask on, other than reminding me of Golga from the Oddities. I look at Uno with that mask on. He looks like something that you would find at some S&M chamber. Somewhere in some weird European country. Not that I've ever been to an S&M chamber, but if I was, I imagine I would see someone like Evil Uno there. Again, not that I've ever been to... You know what? Let's move on. The heels were working over Scorpio for a while. Kazarian got the hot tag. He made a big comeback. Nobody was paying attention, though, because Chris Jericho and his inner circle, they came walking through the crowd in the middle of the match. They were heading on up to one of the suites. They got up there. They're eating popcorn. They're drinking a little bit of the bubbly. Having a good time. So that took the focus away from what was going on in the ring for a few minutes. No Jake Hager with them. No Jake Hager on the show tonight. He is fighting at the Bellator show on Friday. I guess that will be his last fight for a while. Then we'll start to see more of him in the ring in AEW. But he's got, I guess, one more fight to go. That's coming up this Friday. SCU picks up the win with their SCU later finish. And so the finals are now set. Next week it will be the Lucha Bros against SCU to crown the first ever AEW Tag Team Champions. The Lucha Bros are my pick. I said that before. I'm sticking by that. Best tag team in the world. Find me a better team right now than the Lucha Bros. Find me a better tag team division in all of wrestling right now than AEW. That is one of the strong suits. I will say this. Where I feel the women's division in AEW is very weak. Now, we haven't seen everybody that they've signed, so I will leave that out there. But where the women's division is extremely weak in AEW, their tag team division is anything but. Their tag team division, I would argue, is the best anywhere in wrestling, whether it's WWE, you know, NXT, if you want to look at NXT as its own entity, Ring of Honor, New Japan, I mean, any of these companies. I think AEW has the best tag team division right now in terms of the talent that they have under contract. We had Kenny Omega and Joey Janela, the encore. This was after their lights out match last week on AEW Dark, a match that Omega won. But we were told that it did not count towards his win-loss record since that match was non-sanctioned. They did acknowledge his win over Phoenix in AAA to win their mega heavyweight title this past week. They even showed highlights of the match, which was cool. They said Omega would be defending the championship all around the world, but he did not have the belt with him tonight. I thought this was good. This was good. And they did it without all the plunder, without all the weapons and the thumbtacks and the chairs and the tables. It was just a straight-up match. I thought it was good. I wouldn't go too much above that, but for the time that it went, it was good. Janela tried for a cannonball onto Omega on the apron. Late in the match, Omega moved. Janela crashed. He crash-landed right on his hip, bounced off the apron, fell to the floor. Omega puts him back inside, hits the V-trigger knee. One-winged angel, Kenny Omega, picks up the win. This win does count towards his win-loss record. He is now at 4 wins and 3 losses. If they are going to be serious about the wins and losses stuff, then I'm all in on that. I think it's a nice touch. It's something that... Yeah, I've talked for years about the need for some kind of like a power ranking system. You know, WWE, they have this thing. I don't know if they still have it anymore, but at one time they had, quote, power rankings, but it was bullshit. It was something for the website. It was never acknowledged on TV. It was like a .com thing. I'm talking about real rankings. Real rankings that are factored into the storylines. They could put a chart up on TV each week. You know, I figure for each top title in the company, you would have a top 10. For every other title, every mid-card title, tag team titles, you could have a top 5. And so we have an actual listing in front of our face of who is in contention for these different championships. And look, if you want, you know, for storyline purposes, if you want to shuffle people around, you can find ways to do that. You can have a match between who, you know, number 6 and number 8. You know, and whoever wins gets to leapfrog people in the rankings. There are ways to get around it. But at least there would be some explanation for why this guy's getting a shot at the championship. Why this guy walks in, all of a sudden he's getting a title shot. This is where AEW, I think, could, you know, get a leg up on WWE if they're serious about this. Impact tried this once. It didn't last very long. They had a top 10, and like I said, it went maybe a few months, and then they ditched it. I think there's a void here that AEW could fill. I hope they are serious about this, and I guess time will tell. If that's the case, let me give a quick super chat check. I don't know if there's been any new ones. But if there are, I shall read them here on the YouTube channel. Again, if you want to, you can make a Super Chat donation, and I'll check back in a few minutes. If there are any, I will read them here on the air. Tony Schiavone, he was playing the role of Mean Gene tonight, interviewed Cody in the ring. And before Cody could speak, Cody claimed he had some kind of big announcement to make. I don't recall if he ever actually made the announcement or not. I don't think he did. But he couldn't speak. Why? Because Jericho, Inner Circle, up in the skybox, they're blaring air horns. They're doing everything they can to interrupt Cody. Cody then turns and he tells Jericho, he looks up and he sees Jericho. And he tells Jericho, this isn't like the other wrestling company that you and I came from. There's no invisible wall here. I can come up there right now, and we can go at it. I didn't like that. To me, that's old TNA-level shit right there with all, you know, the WWE references. I just didn't think it was necessary here. You know, I feel like there's been a lot of references, not necessarily even on TV, but on social media and such. Look, they don't have to mention WWE. They don't have to even infer anything about WWE. Pretend WWE doesn't even exist. Pretend they don't even exist. You guys are trying to start something new. You don't have to drop little WWE references. It's just, it's Bush League. And in this case, it wasn't even necessary. It didn't really add anything. So I didn't like that. Jericho called Cody a millennial little bitch. Cody took his jacket off. I guess them were fighting words. He went to go up into the crowd, and Jericho reminded him, he said, look, you're here all by yourself. What are you going to do? You're going to come up here by yourself? And that was the cue for Dustin Rhodes to come out. His music played. Then MJF came out. Jericho had a great line here about MJF. He said, who wears a scarf? Mocking MJF's scarf. What kind of idiot wears a scarf? I popped. I thought that was great. Out comes DDP. Totally random. Out comes Diamond Dallas Page. I know we've seen DDP before. I know, you know he's a friend of Cody and a friend, you know, he's a good friend of Dusty Rhodes, and so that's why he's there. But you would have expected Hangman Page to come out, maybe the Young Bucks to come out. Nope, DDP comes out. And you know what? Not only did DDP come out, he got one of the biggest pops on the entire show. Place went crazy. They did the whole bang thing when he came out. People ate it up. So now Cody's got an army. They all march up through the crowd. When they get to the top, Jericho and his boys, they've retreated into the next room. They've locked the door. And they're mocking Cody through the glass. So, Cody takes MJF's scarf. He wraps it around his fist. I kind of cringed here because I got memories of Bill Goldberg in WCW putting his fist through the limousine. And if I remember, Goldberg actually had some kind of glove on his hand. And he still severed all the nerves. So hopefully this was fake glass. But anyway, he puts his fist through the glass, breaks the glass, opens the door, and a huge brawl breaks out onto the mezzanine level of the arena. I thought this was great. I loved this. I thought this brawl, this segment, after the stupid WWE reference, I thought that this was great. I love it when we get brawls throughout the building, or if we get brawls that go outside the building. It's one of those things I love most about the hardcore title. In WWE, when it first debuted, we get those matches, Al Snow in the Mississippi River with Hardcore Holly, you know, that one SummerSlam, Al Snow and Big Boss Man literally brawl across the street into oncoming traffic, into a bar across the street. I love shit like that, you know, Crash Holly at Funtime USA in the ball pit, going down the super slide. You know, it doesn't take much to make me happy with this stuff, so I enjoy it. It's just a different element, a different environment. I thought this was great, and I thought it was great. You know, Jericho, at the end of the segment, he's being held back by security. He's got a ticket in his hand, and he's crying, and he's waving, and he goes, I have a ticket. I have a ticket, he says. It kind of reminded me of Big Show when he got screwed out of that Royal Rumble win against The Rock. He came on TV, what was it, a week or two later? He had a VHS tape in his hand. He goes, I have footage. I have footage, said the Big Show. Big Show got jobbed. He got jobbed that year. So this was great. Young Bucks against the Best Friends. Orange Cassidy was out there with the Best Friends. He gave ankle kicks to each of the Young Bucks. Pittsburgh popped. And the Bucks returned with double super kicks to Orange Cassidy, knocking him out of the ring. and the fans booed. They did not boo Orange Cassidy. I know a lot of people in the Twitterverse were booing him. They don't like him. They don't get Orange Cassidy. But these fans were not booing Orange Cassidy. They love the act. They love it. Some people loathe it. These people loved it. Which is why they do it. This is what their audience wants to see. So they were more pissed at the Bucks for taking him out. We got an Okada camera zoom out at one point when the Bucks mocked the best friends. They hugged in the middle of the ring. We got another Okada camera zoom out later on when Beretta and Chucky, they hugged in the middle of the ring. Orange Cassidy got involved. Huge dive off the top, hands in his pockets, takes out the Bucks on the floor. Best friends hit strong zero. Nick Jackson breaks it up, though, with a 450 splash. Doomsday device by the best friends. Doomsday knee to Matt Jackson. Matt lands on his feet on the way down. Super kick party by the Bucks. Dive out of the ring by Nick Jackson. Takes everybody out. And then more bang for your buck follows that and wins it for the Bucks. Matt Jackson grabs a mic when the match is over. He accepts the challenge that had been laid out by Santana and Ortiz to a match at Full Gear on November 9th. And so that match now, not surprisingly, is official for the pay-per-view. We got a nice video package for the hometown girl, Dr. Britt Baker. I think we need to see more of these. I think these are great. Just, you know, again, match. Same issue I have now with NXT. You get match after match after match. And yeah, some of the matches may be really good. But we gotta learn more about these people. We gotta hear from these people. A video package, a promo, Wardlow, something. At least we got more of that tonight. So this went into her background, you know, her being a Pittsburgh girl, you know, her becoming a doctor. So I thought this was very well done. It made her more likable, I'll say this, than anything that she's done on TV so far. This video package did more to get me to like her than anything else. She took on Jamie Hayter. She's wrestled in Stardom in Japan. She's the tag team partner of Bea Priestley in Japan, who, of course, has become Britt Baker's hated rival in AEW. Gave her a black eye a few weeks ago. So she, Britt was, you know, obviously came out, got a big pot from the hometown crowd. But she came out escorted by Steely McBeam, the mascot for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And thank God they were not in Philadelphia this week. Because if she would have walked out there with the Philly Fanatic, I swear to God, I would have turned the show off. Steely McBeam, I don't mind. Philly Fanatic, I ain't going to stand for that. Fuck the Fanatic. Hat tip to JR. I have to give him credit. You know, people have been talking a lot of stuff about JR. He kind of went off the deep end on his podcast this past week, you could tell. I know he had a bad travel day with the airline, and he recorded his podcast, I think, the next day, and he was in rare form. It actually made for a very entertaining podcast, but he took issue with people coming after him for calling, you know, Jungle Boy, Jungle Jack, and he went off on people. He's defending himself. He felt, he took it personally. He went off on people. A lot of people have varied opinions about JR's work these days. And look, I think early on, it just seemed to me like he, not that he didn't want to be there, but he almost was, I don't know, cranky, if that's the right word. It just, he was not the JR that, you know, you would remember. I will say that he and Tony Schiavone and Excalibur, as the weeks have gone on here, they're gelling more as a team. You know, Schiavone and JR, I think, ever since Schiavone debuted, have been good together. Tonight was good with the announcers. It just felt like they were out there having fun. They were cracking jokes. I thought they did a good job. I don't know if that's just also me kind of being sick and tired of the commentary I hear every week in WWE. But no, I think these guys did a good job, and I'll give JR credit here. He had a line about the doctor making a house call here in Pittsburgh. Cheesy, yes, maybe, but I thought it was a good line. Hayter gave Baker a wet willy at one point. She licked her finger. She stuck it in Baker's ear. I'm sure some people in the chat now have their fapping material for the night. They'll sleep well. Falcon Arrow by Jamie Hayter for a two count. Baker backdropped her way out of a powerbomb attempt, followed that up with a superplex from the middle rope. Hayter followed that up with a chokeslam for a near fall. Ace crusher by Britt Baker, followed by a swinging neckbreaker for a near fall. Followed that with a super kick, and then her Rings of Saturn finish into the lockjaw, that mandible claw for the submission. This was the best match, I think, that Britt Baker has had singles match anyway since coming to AEW. I didn't think her match with Riho last week was very good. I did not like that match, but this was an improvement over that. I think her moves, you know, when she's on offense, I think her moves still look very soft, maybe is the best word to use for it. But this was definitely a better outing for her than I've seen recently. Jen Decker is backstage trying to get an interview with Jamie Hayter, who just lost, when all of a sudden Brandi Rhodes attacks Jamie Hayter. No reason why. She seemed very angry about something. She kind of balled up her fist, and she walked off. No explanation. Maybe Cody made a pass at Hayter in the back, and Brandi got jealous. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. And then we had the main event. Jon Moxley taking on the Bastard Pack. Pack attacked Moxley from behind with a chair as he was making his entrance. He's choking Moxley out with his jacket. I thought this match was good as well. There was a nasty DDT to Pack at one point on the apron. Moxley spiked him right on top of his head. Falcon Arrow by Pack off the top rope to Moxley. That was kind of crazy. Only got a two count out of it. 450 on the floor. This was something. So Moxley is laid out on the floor. Pack is on the apron. He's looking down. He's contemplating what he's going to do. Hits a 450 off the ring apron down onto Moxley on the floor. Puts him back inside. He goes up top for the Black Arrow. Black Arrow misses. We hear Justin Roberts in the background. 1 minute. 1 minute of TV time remaining. So these guys are going. You could hear the crowd, right? They're getting excited here. They know this match is building to a finish. They don't know who's going to win. Moxley hits the paradigm shift with about 30 seconds left. Pack kicks out with 5 seconds remaining. And the match goes to a time limit draw. People are pissed. They are not happy. I mean, nobody likes to see a draw, of course. People are going to boo. And Moxley hit a paradigm shift to the referee, Paul Turner, when the match was over. And that's how they went off the air. The announcers laid out. As they say, they laid out. We didn't hear the announcers. And Moxley was, you know, talking shit into the camera. And they went off the air. I liked the match. I didn't mind the finish. Yeah, it's frustrating to not get a winner. I didn't expect there was going to be a winner, in all honesty. I thought somebody was going to interfere. I figured Omega was coming out. I'll take a time limit draw over, you know, outside interference. But the reason I can't hate on this is when Justin Roberts first came on and mentioned there was a minute left, and then he mentioned there was 30 seconds left, people were into it. It is kind of a lost art in wrestling. I mean, how many times have we heard Jim Ross over the years on his podcast or, you know, in interviews talking about the fact, oh, you know, one thing I miss in wrestling that we don't see anymore are time limits. It's kind of a relic from the past, and we really should have more of them. And I have to say, you know, to me, it's not just some old school relic. I think there's something to be said for that. You know, I think it is cool to acknowledge that matches are going to have time limits. And that's why it's so stupid every now and then when you have a match that actually goes to a time limit draw. Let's say it goes to a 30-minute draw. But it's the only time that they acknowledge that this particular match has a time limit. And it's a dead giveaway that this match is going to go to a time limit draw. They do that every now and then. So at least by acknowledging time limits every single week, it becomes the norm. You know, in certain situations when you do want to go to a time limit draw, it's not so obvious. And as we saw tonight, it could even make things more exciting down the stretch. You know, these guys know it's like an MMA fight. You know, these guys know they have 10 seconds left. They better go for that last knockout. Now, I don't like it. It comes across as very fake and phony if a guy gets, pinfall with 1 second left on the clock. But I do think it could be a useful device going forward to build up some excitement down the stretch in some of these matches. So I didn't mind it. I thought this week's show was really good. I think I enjoyed this week maybe probably more than last week. I just thought it was, a very well put together show. I still think we're missing, some things in between the matches. It just feels like match, 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 match. I like the Britt Baker thing, the Wardlow thing. That's cool. I think we need more of that. If I had, one criticism that jumps out at me. But on the whole, I thought this was a strong show. And, I had one person tweet me and say, the stack card tonight. Why are they giving away so many matches? They have a pay-per-view coming up. You got to save it. You got to save it. I don't mind them giving away big matches like this right now. I think they have to. This is a brand new show. You're trying to establish an audience. You want people to watch your show. You don't want them to watch NXT. You don't want them to go watch something else. What else is on tonight? I don't even know what's on tonight. It's Wednesday night. What, Total Divas? You don't want them to go watch Total? Well, nobody's watching that anyway these days. But you want people to watch your show. And these guys are not having a pay-per-view every month like WWE. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding is AEW is only going to have 4 pay-per-views a year. Maybe 5, maybe. But I think we're looking at about 4 shows a year. That's not a lot. So what do you expect? They're going to save all their big matches for their pay-per-view 4 times a year? That's crazy. As a viewer, I want some big matches. I want to have a reason to be excited when I look at the preview for the show as far as what they're going to do. So they're building their show right now. I see absolutely nothing wrong with them giving away some big matches. I think it's fine. I don't have a problem with it. Long term, they'll have to, dial it back a little bit. But no, you have to get, look, dude, you got to give people a reason to watch. That should be their only concern right now. Put the best possible show out there that you can. Give people a reason to watch your show and not the competition. That should be their goal above all else right now. I'm going to take your phone calls here in a second. Let me just check Super Chats. We have some new ones. Again, Super Chats are open. If anybody wants to send some our way. Chase Wood, thank you for the $10 Super Chat. Appreciate that. Charles Wright, I don't believe it's the Charles Wright. If so, we have Papa Shango in the chat, which is awesome. He says, you have great content. Keep up the great work. Thank you for that. Casey is raw with another $2 Super Chat. Orange Cassidy 316 says, lazy kick party for you. Well, hey, I don't get it either, but people seem to be into it, so who am I to judge? Sean Turner, thank you very much for the Super Chat. Make it a season thing, he says, for wins and losses. I don't quite understand what you mean by that. Make it a season thing? I think if you're going to acknowledge wins and losses, you've got to acknowledge them every week. Can't do it by season. And Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5 Super Chat. My favorite episode so far, he says, the wrestling was great as always, and I thought the pacing was well balanced more so. So a lot of positive opinions so far. And why don't we go to the polls? The polls will tell the story. The Twitter polls are up right now. If you want to, and they're not updating for some reason. I don't know why. Why are they not updating? Let's try this. Oh, there we go. Perfect. They are updating. Over 1,300 votes so far in the Twitter poll. A resounding thumbs up for AEW Dynamite so far. 87% thumbs up, just 13% thumbs down. So it seems like I am not in the minority here, thinking that this was a very good show. And it's funny, I just talked about Charles Wright sending in a Super Chat, and I joked about Papa Shango, and look at the first comment down below in the poll. From Parts Unknown in the Avatar, the man himself, Papa Shango. That's eerie. That is fucking eerie. Now, I did something a little bit different tonight. I put 2 polls up on my Twitter page. You can vote right now. They're going to be open for the next 2 days. Go to @Solomonster on Twitter. You can vote not only what you thought of AEW Dynamite, but you can also vote in this poll here that I'm going to bring up on the screen. What was the better show this week, AEW or NXT? Now, I know not everybody is able to watch the show simultaneously. You're going to go back after maybe and watch NXT, so you can hold off and vote later if you want. But some people watch both shows at the same time. They've got AEW on their TV, they've got NXT on their computer or on their mobile device, their iPad or whatever. And so far, AEW is winning. 68% for AEW, 32% for NXT. And that is with almost 1,000 votes in already. So two polls up. I want to hear what you guys think. Head on over there at Solomonster, and you can vote on what you think of the shows tonight. Let's hit the phones, find out what you guys thought of the show. The number is on your screen, 989-282-SOLO. 989-282-SOLO. 7656, that is the phone number to dial in. And let's see here. Why don't we go to the West Coast? We'll go to California. You are on the air.
Hello,
California.
Hey, this is Preston here. Solomonster. We talk from time to time on Facebook. I sent you that funny little GIF or a picture of you with Katrina.
Yeah. Is that Preston B that I'm talking to here?
Yeah. Yes, that is Preston from Oakley, California.
Hey, Preston, what's going on?
Oh, I'm doing good. So first of all, I want to give my quick thoughts on AEW. I thought this was overall really a great show. I did like the wrestling a lot, and I would say in terms of promos and segments, I thought it was a little bit better. But I do agree, I think they need to kind of space out a little bit, even if it's like a minute or like promo package like in between matches. I think it would be a lot better, make the show flow a little bit better. That way everyone can kind of know who these guys and gals are. And all of that. So I just think they need to do that. But overall, I thought this was, in my opinion, their best show thus far. But I do have a personal question to ask you. Of course, we all know AEW is having their pay-per-view Full Gear coming up at November 9th. And I intend to watch it. However, there's a New Japan show in San Jose, California, about an hour and a half away where I live. And I would like to go to that, because I could get VIP tickets to meet a few of the wrestlers there. And it will be Jushin Thunder Liger's final match in the United States.
Oh, boy.
He will be wrestling his final match in the United States.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And
yes.
I've never seen a Jushin Thunder Liger match ever in my entire life. In your opinion, if you're in my shoes, should I go to the VIP show, New Japan show on Saturday, and then watch the AEW show on Sunday?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. Thank you for the call. Yeah, if I were in your shoes, if that's my last chance to see Jushin Thunder Liger live, look, the AEW show is going to be there for you afterwards. Go to the New Japan show. It's a no-brainer. Of course, you have to go. You have to go. Plus, it'll probably be a great show anyway. How can you not go? It's crazy. So, yes, if I'm in your shoes, even though that means not only you're going to miss Full Gear live, but that whole weekend, it's the 12-year anniversary weekend of the Sound Off. 12-year anniversary of this podcast, but that's okay. I won't hold it against you. But no, if I were in your shoes, without a doubt, you got to go see Jushin Thunder Liger. Maybe you'll get Kishin Liger. Maybe it won't even be Jushin. It'll be Kishin Liger. So yes, yeah, so you better go to that show. If you don't go to that show, I'm going to be very upset. If you don't go to that show, I will. How about that? We have area code 980. You are on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I thought overall the show was really good. One minor criticism I would have about the show is the last 5 minutes of like John Moxley versus Pac, like they were counting down the time frame for the match to remain. And it felt like both wrestlers weren't like picking up or going to that next skill. Like they just kept on moving. It was a good match, but it felt like when they started counting down the 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, you know, they could have picked up the pace a little. I do have one question about the women's division for AEW.
Sure.
Do you think, based off of what's happening tonight, that the main female program AEW is setting up is a rivalry between Brandi Rhodes and Britt Baker? Well, Randy Rhodes is the one who defeats Rio for the title, and then Britt Baker eventually chases Randy Rhodes for the belt? Do you think that's going to happen?
I hope not. I really hope not. Look, this is a company that's already facing questions about the Elite and Cody, and they're pushing themselves, and of course they're going to put themselves over. And it's natural you're going to get, and I hope that's not the case. I hope we don't just get a situation where the Young Bucks are going to be tag team champions in 3 months and Cody's going to be the world champ. I don't think that's going to happen. But when you have these questions about these guys, Cody and Kenny and the Bucks and Paige, you really have to throw Brandy in there. Brandy is, I think, in the role that she's in as kind of a spokesperson for the company and an ambassador for the company and for the women in the company. That's perfect. That's great. And Brandy is a beautiful woman, and so if they want to put her on TV, that's fine. Brandy, though, is not a great wrestler. And if they're signing all of this new female talent, a lot of which supposedly we haven't even seen yet, there's a lot of women who are far more capable than she is inside the ring. Brandy should be kept away from that championship for a long time. Now, I don't know if they're going to build to a feud between Brandy and Britt Baker. If they want to go down that road, they can do that. I don't think the title needs to be involved. So, I don't know the answer to that question, but my answer is I hope not. I hope not. Because then you're just inviting a whole, just, you know, an avalanche of criticism that you just don't need. And Brandy doesn't belong in that spot. She doesn't belong in that spot. She's not that good. As far as the wrestling is concerned, for her to be the champion of the division. And look, there are certain exceptions where you can say, okay, maybe this person is not the best worker. She's not the best wrestler. She doesn't have the flashiest moves. But they're a great character. They're a great personality. Being the champion is not just about great work rate. Otherwise, we never would have had people like the fucking Ultimate Warrior as the world champion, or even Hulk Hogan. Why were those guys so successful? Why were those guys champions so many times, or champions for so many years? Because they had dynamic personalities. They were larger than life. They were charismatic. They had something about them that people wanted to pay to see them. That's not the role that Brandi Rhodes should be in. Their women's division right now is, I think, the weakest part of their product. To put Brandi Rhodes over on Rio and make her the champion, I think that would be a terrible idea. So I hope that's not the direction that they go in. I don't think it is, but I hope that's not the direction they go in. Area code 404, you're on the air.
Hey, what's going on, Jason? How's everything going, brother?
It's going pretty good. Who am I talking to tonight?
Oh, this is De'Antoine Smith, man. You know, I had did a good review on your podcast a couple of months ago, man. Finally good to speak to you, brother.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
But, hey, but you know, I'm not about to waste your time or nothing, but here's my thing. The last match was good, but the timekeeper thing, you know, I hope this is not one of them things where they're going to keep throwing it out there to the public, where we keep, you know, to the point where we feel like, okay, this is going to be a big issue in the ending of every match of AEW. And then, too, I got another question, and I know this is an AEW thing, a post or whatever, but do you think if scripted promos was taken off of all wrestling shows, do you think wrestling would be cool again? Because I agree with you, wrestling is not cool again. It's more out there now, but it's just not cool, even for guys like me who used to watch it faithfully. Now I'm resort to, you know, listen to your podcast or even watch your little highlights on YouTube.
Yeah, I think it would help a lot. I don't think it would all of a sudden change the face of wrestling if you just start unscripting promo. And you're going to have people who can't cut a promo for their life. I mean, you have people out there who need that script. Now, if it were up to me, you're talking WWE, because I don't think they're scripting people in AEW. So if we're talking WWE, I think one of the big problems with that product is the overscripting of dialogue. And not just for the wrestlers, for the announcers, for everybody. Everybody sounds like a fucking robot in that company. Nobody sounds real. Nobody sounds genuine. I listen to some of these people. My God, Braun Strowman, Tyson Fury. Yeah, Tyson Fury can talk, but some of the dialogue with some of these segments, oh my God. I mean, no human being that I know speaks the way that these people speak. So that is a very big part, I think, of the problem that they have in that company. But it's not like, well, just unscript everything and all of a sudden, you know, the Attitude Era is going to be back. That's not the case. At the end of the day, it comes down to good creative and bad creative. You know, if you have characters that are interesting, if you have storylines that are interesting, you'll turn the product around. You know, less scripting of promos is one piece, I think, of a larger problem that they have. But absolutely, it's a big part of it. I mean, and look, watch NWA Power. I just watched episode 3 yesterday of NWA Power, and I'm going to wait until this Sunday on the podcast to talk about it. I enjoyed it, but I actually thought it was the weakest of the three shows so far. But the strong point of NWA Power, is it the wrestling? Of course not. Of course not. We haven't seen a wrestling match on that show above 2 or 2.5 stars. That's not what the show is about. It's the promos. It's the personalities. It's guys like Eddie Kingston and Nick Aldis coming out there. And you watch that show, and it's very obvious that if these guys are given anything at all, and I don't know that they are, but if they're given anything before they walk out there, it's bullet points. Listen, here's what you need to get across. Go out there. You think Eddie Kingston is sitting in the back at the studio in Atlanta reading a fucking script? No. He goes out there and he does what he does best. And that's what makes NWA stand out. I had a lot of comments from people this week. Oh, I think the bloom is off the rose. NWA Power. It was nostalgia the first 2 weeks, but here's all the problems with the show. Look, I have my own criticism. I'm going to go over them this weekend. But at the end of the day, it was an enjoyable hour. It's a show carried by promos that are not scripted. Nick Aldis was out there. I'm watching Nick Aldis, right? He's the world's heavyweight champion, and he's a good talker. Watch that Nick Aldis promo when he came out in studio for this week's NWA show. He was losing his train of thought. He was stumbling a little bit over his words. He didn't know what to say next. And I figured, okay, there's going to be a lot of comments and tweets. Oh, this was a terrible promo. He looks like he lost his train of thought. I thought it was fine. Because that showed he wasn't out there trying to remember lines that he was supposed to memorize. He was trying to come up with, okay, what should I say next? It was actually kind of refreshing. I picked up on that right away as I was watching that. I said, oh, this guy's struggling to find the words. I said, you know what? That's kind of cool. He's out there. He actually sounds like a normal human being. That's what we need more of. So hopefully that answers your question. You got me all fired up now. Area code 573. I believe we're going to, is it Jefferson City, Missouri?
Hey, that's actually where I'm from, but I'm actually calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh,
okay. This is Jeff Smith. Hey, Stella Monster, I'm a huge fan, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, no, I appreciate you. You actually got me through a 12-hour road trip from Kansas City to Cleveland, listening to and catching up on your podcast. So, hey, I just tuned in about 20 minutes ago, so I apologize if you've already covered this. But what did you think about them using and how they used DDP this week? Because my thoughts and semblance about it is, it's great that they're using an old star in limited capacity, but it leaves a lot of questions. Makes me kind of want to tune in to see if DDP shows up at the pay-per-view, if he's going to be a regular, kind of where do you see that going? Or what was your thought about the angle overall?
I enjoyed the angle a lot. That whole segment probably was my favorite segment on the entire show. To me, I don't think it's going anywhere with DDP. I just think it's a case where DDP is very good friends with Cody. He was very close to Dusty. Dusty was his mentor. He was his influence. And so he's very close to the family. So anytime they can send DDP out there to, you know, just put his face out there and get a big reaction, I think they'll do that. I don't even think we're going to see him wrestling necessarily. I don't think he's going to be part of some big angle. Obviously, he happened to be there tonight. I don't think he's there every week. So I don't think it's going anywhere in terms of them doing anything specific or some big story with DDP. I just think, again, he's friends with Cody. Cody respects him. He admires him. He's a legend. He can go out there and get a big reaction. And I'm sure he loves going out there and wearing his DDPY shirt. So it's good promotion for him. And that's really, I think that's all it is. I wouldn't read too much more into that. Let's go to area code 347. I believe a fellow New Yorker on the line.
Hey, Solomon, what's up? My name is Marquise. I've been listening to your show for like 5 years.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fellow New Yorker here, Brooklyn, New York.
Ah, fellow Brooklynite. I love it.
Awesome. Okay, I have two questions. My main thing with, well, it's not a question, but my main thing with AEW is I think they should stop referencing WWE in their show and just focus on making their show better instead of always bringing up this is what happened in this company. Now we're doing things different in our own company. Do you think that's going to like push them back if they keep on making WWE the main topic?
Yeah, it was one of the things. Thank you for the call. It was one of the things on the show I said earlier that I really just didn't like. It just felt out of place. I mean, I think. Yeah, he was saying in WWE, you know, when we have promos like this, the guy has to just stand in the ring. It's like there's a force field. He can't, you know, leave if the guy is over there trash talking him. I don't know. It just, you didn't have to mention them. If it was something so blatantly stupid that WWE is known for doing and you want to take that shot, even then I probably would advise against it. It just felt stupid. It felt tacked on. It's like, don't even acknowledge them. You know, they're not acknowledging you. This is what TNA would do all the time. TNA went through this period many years ago where it was like they were mentioning WWE or name-dropping WWE every single week. You know, and sometimes it wasn't even like taking shots at them. It was like, well, you know, in this other company, you were the champion and you were this and you were that. It's like, why are you even referencing them? Why can't you carve out your own identity? It's bad enough you've taken most of their talent. It's like, you know, and it just came off as Mickey Mouse. So I think they just have to, it was one comment, but I think they have to be careful to avoid that. They don't have to do that. Yes, we know that you were at one time in WWE, and Chris Jericho, he was a WWE guy for 20 years. We know this. Focus on yourself. Focus on AEW. You don't need to remind people about the other company. They know who WWE is. They're watching you because they're probably tired of WWE. You don't have to mention them. Let's go to area code 773. You're on the air. 773. Going once. Going twice. You're out of here. That's right. There's a baseball game tonight. Somebody update me in the chat on the score of the baseball game. I haven't checked all night. Let's try area code 484 in Pennsylvania. You're on the air.
Yo.
Yo.
Yeah. I just want to piggyback off that last caller.
Sure.
Because he actually took what I was going to say. The whole thing with referencing WWE is really, really stupid, and it's kind of weird that it's always Cody doing it. So it's kind of weird and it's awkward for me because I'm sitting here, I'm really into AEW, but this guy like pops up on the TV screen, he references WWE, and then he'll sit there and, you know, kind of do stuff that Triple H was doing, and he's like molding himself like after what Triple H is in WWE. Don't you? That just, to like a real wrestling fan like me, like how are you going to leave one company, you know, and then you have a hand and a foot in this next company, and then everything that you're complaining about, like you're pretty much mirroring. Do you find that awkward?
Yeah, no, I do. I mean, you mentioned Triple H. Now, Triple H has made comments about AEW, and he actually made that one comment at the Hall of Fame where he called them like a pissant company. It was like a joke because Billy Gunn was there. He called him a pissant company. And Cody got hit. I guess Cody got his shot back. He did the whole thing with the Triple H throne. It double or nothing. He took the sledgehammer to it. So he had to get it out of his system. He did that. Leave it alone. Dude, you don't have to mention them. Carve out your own niche. I agree with you 100%. It just feels, I don't know, it just feels, again, minor league to me when you have to reference WWE. You want to poke fun at them or whatever on Twitter. If you're being interviewed at a Comic-Con or something, even then, but all right, fine. On TV, forget it. Pretend they don't exist. That's what I would do. That's the philosophy I would follow. What do I know? Let's go to, let's see here. Who do we want to go to? The lines are all jammed up. I'm going to take some more calls, so keep calling in. Let's go to, Well, this has got to be a Florida number. Area code 407. You're on the air.
What's up, Jason? It's Glenn.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. So, I love the opening. The opening was awesome. We had the bell ringing in less than 2 minutes. I think that's one of the fastest we've had in all of wrestling, a bell ringing in 2 minutes. Just had to say that. And you say that, you know, they can't cancel the scoreboard, you know, like a record. And if...
Oh, I think we lost
the championship.
Oh, there you are. You dropped out there for a second. So, say it again.
The NFL has a Super Bowl. After that, the record's clean. You know, every single sport has their record. That record is a sports-based. So what if AEW down the line did something like a G1 style that would climax in the end of the records and the record sweep? Because you're not going to have some guy like MJF have a record and then 5 years later he's a totally different, you know, different guy, because you're not the same wrestler you are 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And actually, you know, I said before when somebody in the Super Chats, and I'm going to check that again here in a second, made the comment about seasons. I think I understand now what he was saying. I didn't get it before. But I assume by that he meant, you know, you organize it in terms of seasons and then it kind of resets and all that. Yeah, I think that would be fine. As long as they're acknowledging wins and losses mean something, because we've been so beaten down over the years to just feel like they mean absolutely nothing. So why are we even watching the matches? Why even have matches? If wins and losses don't matter, if they don't seem to mean anything, if people lose championships and they show up on TV the next week with a big fat smile on their face, then why the hell should we care? Why should we get invested in a championship match? Who cares if the guy loses? He's going to come out on TV the next week or the next night, all jolly, throwing pancakes out to the crowd. Who cares? So I appreciate any company that takes the time and the effort to do something that makes matches and wins and losses meaningful in some way. You know, years ago, they would talk about the purse money. Boy, this guy wants to win this battle royal. He wants to win this tournament. He wants to win this match. It's the purse money. It's the Gorilla Monsoon would talk about the purse money. This guy's going to win $50,000 if he wins this match. There was something on the line. There was something at stake. And now I think part of it is we just get so many matches. 3 hours on Monday alone, every single week. They've lost sight of the fact that I think people like stats. They like numbers. I'm a sports fan, but I'm sure there's people in the chat listening to this right now who are far bigger sports fans than I am, who follow baseball and football and hockey, all the different sports, ESPN, all these networks, fantasy leagues. They're all based around stats. Hitting statistics, throwing statistics, fielding statistics. Ugh, I can't even talk. All kinds of stats, all kinds of numbers. People eat that shit up. So I think in wrestling, yeah, we know it's predetermined and all that, but at least if you make the effort to make it feel a little bit more realistic and you put the emphasis on statistics and you put something up on the screen that we could follow and there's some rationale, there's some logic behind who's getting a shot at what title and when, I'm all for that. I don't know if it's going to work. Look, AEW may forget all about this in a few months. But them putting those win-loss records on the screen, talking about how Kenny Omega, okay, with tonight's win, now he's 4 wins and 3 losses. All right, now make it mean something. But if they can do that, I think that's great. I think that's one of the things that's missing in wrestling. Let's go to area code 573. You're on the air.
Hey, Solomon Monster, it's Chelsea.
Hey, Chelsea, how you doing?
Good. So I just have a couple things real quick. I really think that the Moxley ending was perfect. So that way Pac's record is still okay. And so when Moxley beats Omega at Full Gear, Pac has an excuse to try to go after Moxley to try to get like that number one contendership. And I think, or do you think this is going to happen, like, after Full Gear, this big pay-per-view, do you think they're going to start doing more promos? Because right now, they're in the whole, we got to show everybody before, so we can get people interested into their first, like, big pay-per-view. And that's all I have for now.
Thank you. I think, I don't know if it'll be right after Full Gear, but I think as time goes on, this is what, week four of the show? I think week four. So yeah, they're still in that mode of just putting all action, big matches, don't flip over to the other channel, watch us, you know, let's keep that number above a million. I think there's a very good chance that, you know, you're going to be sitting here tomorrow night. By this time tomorrow, the ratings are going to be out, and AEW may be under a million viewers. It could go either way. If they go up, it's possible, but I think they could very well sink just under a million this week. They're in the mode right now of probably trying to keep that audience, and to do that, they feel like they have to throw out big match after big match. But I think you need more promos. You need more, I don't want to say skits, because then people... Look, I'm not looking for bad comedy skits like we get in WWE. If they have a great idea for a skit that's actually entertaining, then by all means, go for it. They tried that this week on the NWA show, actually with Aaron Stevens, former Damian Sandow. They sent him out there. He's doing some kind of gimmick where he's, I don't know if he's delusional or if he just thinks he's a heel and so he thinks he's better than everybody. I'm a great actor and everything. And they threw it to this mock trailer for a movie of his that's supposedly coming out, this fake movie. What was it called? Tropical Pirates. Now, I didn't think it was as funny. I didn't think the whole thing was as funny as some other people thought it was. But anyway, whatever. It was amusing enough. If you can come up with segments like that that are funny, like I think of Booker T and Goldust at the movies. Remember when Booker T and Goldust was doing comedy in 2002? And they would do these segments where they would like do their movie reviews every week and Booker T was dressed up as... You know, like a gladiator or something. Like, I thought that shit was entertaining. I thought that stuff was really funny. So if they can come up with stuff that really is genuinely funny and entertaining, then let's put more of that on the TV show. You know, some of the stuff we see on Being the Elite. It's a YouTube show. Some of that stuff should be on the TV show. And it would break up the monotony of match, 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 match. So, I agree. I hope, and I do think over time we'll start to see more of that. And your theory as far as Pac and Moxley and Omega and the pay-per-view, I think, is a good one. I think that makes a lot of sense. Let's go to area code 703. You're on the air.
Hey, fellow monster, what's up? How's tonight treating you?
Tonight is treating me great. We got a great show. We got some great calls, and hopefully this is another one. What's your name?
Awesome. My name's Eddie. I'm over here in Washington, D.C., and just got done watching the episode. It was great. And seeing the two singles matches from tonight in Omega and Janela and Pac and Motley had me thinking that a good way to start 2020 for AEW to continue up and build the roster, especially with all the talent that they have. And I believe you've mentioned this before in the sound off. Wouldn't it be great to finally introduce something like a secondary title, like a television title or their own version of an Intercontinental Championship? Because I believe Omega was New Japan's first U.S. champion, and just something like putting Omega as their inaugural champ or even Moxley would be great to start of the year in 2020, introduce a new championship as well. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I think you don't have to do it right away. We haven't even crowned new tag team champions yet. I think you get past that first. Then you'll have your tag champion set, your women's champion's been set. Jericho obviously has the world title. I think maybe the first, few months of 2020, you can introduce a singles title, mid-card singles title. I think that would make a lot of sense. I don't know what they would call it. If they want to go old school, call it a television title. If they want to come up with some other name for it, I think that's fine. I think at some point you're going to have to. And as the roster expands and we get introduced to new talents, not just Wardlow, but other people are brought in, I think that's going to help a lot, you know, to have another one of those championships that they could fight for. Let's check the Super Chats real quick. We got a couple more. Loki, again, another Super Chat, $5. Thank you to Loki. And $20 Super Chat from Dennis Walton, who says, now if we can just have NXT and AEW on different nights, we'll be able to ignore Raw and SmackDown. Well, I got news for you. There's a lot of people who are ignoring Raw and SmackDown already. Wednesday has become wrestling. Actually, Tuesdays too. A lot of people are tuning into that NWA show. Some people watch Impact. I don't hear really hardly anything anymore about Ring of Honor, which is kind of sad. I almost think NWA is sort of taking the place of ROH for some people. So if you want options aside from the main roster WWE, the good news is you've got options. And two of the best ones happen to come on Wednesdays. Let's take a couple more here, and then we'll wrap up. Let's go to area code 860. You are on the air. I do see some comments in the chat, or I did anyway a few seconds ago, from people saying the stream is cutting out on them. I don't know if that's widespread or not. My machine here is heating up. Hopefully that has nothing to do. Hopefully that has nothing to do with that. But let me know in the chat if things are okay or not. But 860, you're on the air.
Hi, I didn't think I'd get on, but
It's funny. I went to go click on a different number, and then you popped up. I think you've been on for like 20 seconds, and your number sort of popped up in place, and I clicked on it. So you got lucky.
Yeah. Just two things. First one about the comments about WWE. I don't per se hate them. They kind of got over with me through the Being the Elite channel, so I don't really mind them that much. But what did kind of really piss me off was, and this might just because I was really soured on Seth Rollins as of late, like everyone else, but when he called Kenny and AEW the minor leagues at that Comic-Con panel, that really pissed me off. And so I kind of like am glad that they're taking shots back and not just sitting on their feet. But with one problem with the show so far is just like constant tag matches. I mean, I like the matches, but I feel like there's just too many of them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think NXT has the same problem. I think actually both shows have a similar problem. I said last week NXT had 8 matches in less than 2 hours. If you add the commercials in, it's not even a full 2 hours. They had 8 matches. That's a lot of matches. That's like a pay-per-view. And there was very little of anything else in between. So it's not just an AEW problem. It's an AEW and an NXT issue. And so I think that's something they're both going to have to address. I've said this a couple times tonight. I don't know if it's skits, I don't know if it's promos, video packages. We got one tonight for Britt Baker. That was good. Wardlow. We need more of that on the show. You know, just to break things up a little bit instead of just spitting out match after match after match. Let's take one more caller here. We'll go to the, if this works. Was going to go to Atlanta, but I don't know. This is not working for some reason. Let's go to our nation's capital. I believe this person may have been, correct me if I'm wrong, this person may have been at the show tonight?
No, I was in the first show back in D.C.
Ah, the first show, yes.
This is Garrett. Yeah, it's great to be back after you killed me off in the first review, by the way. But
I've brought you back to life here. This is Garrett, the infamous Garrett. You were a big hit in the chat room, so if people can actually hear the stream, I don't know, some people were saying it was cutting out, but if they can hear you, people are going to be going crazy for Garrett in the chat.
Yeah, I have the abilities like Rambling Rattle able to come back from the dead.
That's right. Yes, that's the Firefly Funhouse, back after 1 week.
But I thought the show was all right. I think it was probably better than the actual first week that I actually went to the show. I do enjoy the semi-matches, even though if I don't like the Dark Order. Let me make this a very short point about the Cody promo. He made it a point, the fact that this night, like any other company where we had an invisible wall, but yet he came out to talk about a big announcement, and he didn't deliver on it, which is pretty much textbook WWE nowadays. The second point I wanted to make was about the potential ratings that's going to come out tomorrow, where I believe at this point, I think AEW has like a TNA ceiling they reach. It's going to be stuck in between the 1.1, 1.2 rating. They'll dip below a million, or they probably go above a million at certain points. But I do think that their current ceiling is basically TNA's like 5 years ago on Spike. The again, it's not like a great feeling, but I think it's good for what TNT will look forward to. And as finally, the point about promos and actually getting people to understand their characters, I do believe a good suggestion would be using the website and actually interacting with roster members and to put a promo on each page, letting people know their character, their intentions, what their personalities are like. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do that on TV, but they should also take those promos and put it on television in order for people to actually understand the characters more and get more TV time for the new faces. So that would be some of the suggestions I have for the wrestling issue they have on the show.
Yeah, and those are all good suggestions, I think, as I just killed Garrett off again. Rest in peace. But thank you for the call. I agree. I think those are all good points to make. I think a lot of people have made those same points tonight, so hopefully somebody in AEW is listening. Because so far, I mean, again, I thought tonight was a strong night. Tonight was a strong show, but there are some, you know, valid criticisms when it comes to the flow and the structure of the show, and hopefully those things, it's only week four, so hopefully those things will improve over time. Right now, if you can see it, I am putting the poll, one of the polls, back up on the screen. If you're not seeing it, you should shortly. This is the poll: what did you think was the better show, AEW or NXT? And with over 1,100 votes so far, and these polls are going to be open for another couple of days, so you can still vote at Solomonster on Twitter. AEW is winning 67% to 33%. And the AEW poll, what did you think of AEW Dynamite from Pittsburgh? Over 1,500 votes, 87 up, 13 down. So again, an overwhelmingly positive response for the AEW show tonight, which is always nice to see and well-deserved, because I thought overall it was actually a very strong show. Again, if there are people who are having issues, I noticed that the stream is running a little laggy. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a server issue or what. So if you are having issues, I apologize. Hopefully if you are, you'll be able to listen to it okay on the download. I will get the download link up and push it out to the feed later tonight. So you can always listen to whatever calls you may have missed on the back end. I want to say thank you to everybody who has tuned in tonight, and anybody who has donated via Super Chat. I do appreciate all the support. I appreciate the hell out of each and every single one of you. Dennis, Loki, Jacob, Sean, Casey, and everybody else. So thank you, guys. Episode 623 of The Sound Off. That's the Halloween show. That's coming up on Sunday, dropping on all the usual platforms. We're going to be covering a lot of things. I will give predictions for Sweet Saudi Money 4, War What Is It Good For. I will talk about that card. That's the big card coming up next week, actually on Halloween. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about NWA Power. There's a couple of very interesting mailbag questions as well, including one rant from a listener, not on me, but on people who have been shitting on Monday Night Raw. So a lot of good stuff coming up on the podcast this Sunday. That's episode 623. I will see you guys back here for another, hopefully if it works properly, another Dynamite live stream next Wednesday here on the YouTube channel. So until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great rest of the week. New Sound Off Gamer going up tomorrow, probably around 10 a.m. That's the first Sound Off Gamer I've done in many, many months. It's about 14 or 15 minutes long. It's not terribly long. It's just enough to hopefully occupy your time tomorrow morning. Hopefully you will find that entertaining enough. So if you've been waiting for that, that's coming up tomorrow. And episode 623 on Sunday. So until then, take care, guys.